Where I'm from, people put a lot of stock in their boots. That's true. That's not a joke. I once knew a guy who desperately wanted alligator boots, but he couldn't afford them. And I told him all he needed to do was go down to the swamps of South Arkansas and kill his own alligator to get his boots. Well, I went with him and stayed at the hunting lodge, and in the late afternoon, when he hadn't come back, I got worried. I walked to the edge of the swamp, and there I saw him in his hip waders with a shotgun cradled in his arm and four dead alligators ringing him. Even as I stood there, he took aim and shot a fifth. "Why are you shooting so many alligators?" I asked him. "Heck," he said, "I have to. Everyone I've found so far is barefoot." He was a fool. And then there's the quality control officer who got fired from the M&M candy plant because he kept throwing out all the ones with a W printed on them. You have to think about that one for a second. He was a fool. Fools, either fictional or real, we dismiss and we ridicule. They are those who can't seem to grasp the way of the world, the clueless who fail to realize how incapable they are of navigating life. We make jokes about fools, I think, to disguise our own phobia at being made to look foolish. We laugh at such jokes a little bit nervously. Just think how many of our fears have at their root the fear of playing the fool in the eyes of those around us. Consequently, St. Paul's message to the Corinthians today is a perplexing one, so much so that I almost skipped it. The other option for our first reading this morning was the Ten Commandments in Exodus. And the Ten Commandments, they're a preacher's dream. 10 to choose from and each one sermon worthy. Thou shalt not make graven images. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath, especially during swimming tournaments and soccer tournaments, and keep it holy. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. People squirm in their seats. The possibilities are endless. But instead, this morning, we read this. God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. When I read these words of Paul, I felt convicted to risk my own foolishness and save the Ten Commandments for another time. What does it mean to be a fool for Christ? When I was in seminary in Texas, one January term, we took a trip to the Rio Grande Valley and we crossed over the river into Matamoros, Mexico. There we visited colonias, slums built on an abandoned landfill where homes are made of pallet wood and tar paper, and children play, literally, in garbage. Diseases that sound medieval, like dengue fever, also known as break bone fever because of the excruciating pain it causes, are rampant in the slums. In one colonia, we met an American. I can't remember his name, but he was college educated and had a wife and two children. He'd come to the valley as a youth director of a church on the American side, but as time went on, he felt moved by Christ to move into the colonia, to live and work alongside the people there. He labored in the health clinic and became a voice of hope in the midst of such abject despair. And there he was, with his wife and his children, living in a plywood hut without heat or latrine, the smile on his face visible through the daily grime. And I, one preparing to be yoked by this collar, thought to myself, he's a fool. He was risking his life and the lives of his wife and his children. And let's be honest, what difference could he make when tens of thousands live in the Colonias and more move there every year to work in the border factories that manufacture and import the goods that we purchase? What a fool. May Justice gave a moving talk in the Rector's Forum a couple of weeks ago in which she shared her own journey of faith. In her story, she talked about a time decades ago when someone asked her what it meant to be a Christian. May's response then, very different from what it would be today, was that a Christian was someone who tried to follow the Ten Commandments. See, I got him into the sermon after all. And many of us might give similar answers. We might say that being a Christian means following the teachings of Jesus, loving our neighbors as ourselves, or even having a personal relationship with Jesus in which we talk to him regularly. These are good answers. They're all true. And the nice thing about them is not a one of them makes us look foolish. The problem is, they're incomplete. They, even the one about talking to Jesus, don't tell the whole story. What does it mean to be a Christian? C.S. Lewis says that we wish it meant something like our responsibility for paying taxes. In other words, we'll swallow hard and do all that we need to do to fulfill Christ's claim upon us and hope that afterwards there will be plenty of time left to be who we want to be. To that notion, Lewis responds, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I haven't come to torment your natural self. I've come to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or stop it, but to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self. All the desires, the ones that you think are innocent, as well as the ones you know are wicked. The whole outfit. And I'll give you a new self instead. In fact, I'll give you myself. My own will shall become yours. Now that's foolish. That's a faith that gives up to death everything about our lives, everything that the world tells us is important and valuable. What are we supposed to do? Sell our homes and liquidate our bank accounts? Pack up to some Mexican slum, taking our families with us? Well, for some, yes. For others, giving our lives to Christ in faith may mean leaving our homes, leaving our jobs, giving up some of the relationships by which we've defined ourselves. But it's also helpful to remember C.S. Lewis's own case. He was, both before his conversion to faith and after he became a fool for Christ, an English teacher. Even upon gaining worldwide fame as a Christian writer and thinker, his life maintained basically the same contours it had known before. And yet at the same time, everything became different. He talks about how before he gave his life to God, it was as if he'd walked through the streets of Oxford never looking up. After, though, it was as if seeing for the first time the glorious spires of the university rising to the heavens. And after such a sight, he could never walk through the world the same way again. Every motivation in life, as a writer, as a scholar, as a friend, as an English teacher, became his commitment to Christ. In all things, he became C.S. Lewis for the sake of God, rather than his own sake. What would that look like for each one of us? I'm afraid I can't tell you. Because when we give ourselves to Christ, the way He forms each one of us looks different. All I can promise is, as Paul tells us today, sometimes we will look to the world like fools. We'd best get used to it. And if we're not willing to, then that says something about for whose sake we really live. Which leads to a second point. We cannot do it alone, and I mean that most literally. Only with committed prayer and trust in Jesus will we be able to let go of the old life like the mouth finally lets go of the old tooth. Only then will Christ become in us, as Paul says, God's very power and wisdom, forming our entire lives. Because ultimately, new life is not about human striving, but about giving up. Giving up ourselves to a love that is infinitely bigger than we are, who will reshape the all of us into something new. And what the world calls foolishness, we will experience as blessing, as forgiveness, and as salvation. Amen.
Amen.